our desire tonight, sing it again to Him. Yes.
Make me more like Thee.
That's your heart desire tonight. That is His desire, just as well. Yes.
Give me a heart that's filled with love.
As we said before, we are happy to be here tonight. And the reason we're here is because our heart is here. And if my heart is here, that's why my desire is here too, this tonight. So we are so glad that God has blessed us throughout the week. And today's the middle of the week, so going over the hump. So we need to get as much as we can tonight and get over and move on. Thank you, musicians. So let's read from Psalm 19. We're going to read 5 or 6 verses. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night shows His knowledge. There is no speech, no language, where their voice is not heard. Their lines is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, and them hath He said, a tabernacle for the sun. So He's talking about the glory of God. So when we look at the firmament, at the sky, you know, it is like a tour.
Right. Yeah.
When you see all that God has created, His design that He exhibited every day and every night, you know, in the sky, and not only in the sky, but in the entire universe. Amen. And He said that Madame Day holds classes every morning. See? In the morning, He says. And at night. The day unto day. And night unto night. So, Professor Night, lecture at night. Every day. Every day the universe is speaking. Nature is speaking to us. And He says that the word are not heard, the voices are not heard, but the silence fills the entire earth. Amen. Always speaking the truth, spoken everywhere. Which, verse 5, is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run the race. He's going forth from the end of heavens and His circuit unto the end of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. So God has set up a huge dome, you know, a super dome. And the morning sun wakes up in the morning like a husband, getting out of bed, you know, ready to go and take on the world, you know, in a race, He says. He races from one end to the other, leaping, you know, like being in the honeymoon in bed, coming out of his chamber. And as the day breaks, He just takes off and races across the sky. So is the Son of God, because His mercy shines afresh every morning. So the bridegroom represents the Son of God, or the S-U-N, as Brother puts it. So tonight we're going to reflect in God's design and His nature. So let us bow our heads. Father, we Thank you one more time, Father, that we just come together in this set of time just to set aside this time to relax, sit down, forget about the busy day and the huff on the bustle. Father, we just want to just concentrate and focus on you tonight, Father. That's why we have set this moment, this church aside, so we can have fellowship with you and the Word and one another, Father. Tonight, Father, we ask you to speak your words of life to us, Father. We need them, Father, more than anything. So tonight, Father, we are expecting that your presence will come, Father, and meet every need in every heart, Father. You know it. I don't, but you do, Father. And tonight, we help me, Father, to get out of the way and let your word, Father, just go forward, empower, Father, that will change our life, Father, that we will not live here the same way we came in, Father. Father, that we can move forward until that day, either you come or either death calls us, but Father, we find us always moving forward with you, Father, every day with Jesus, Father. It's a new day for us. Father, we thank you and we ask you to be with our brother, Doug, Father, and our pastor and Sister Jennifer. Just keep them, protect them, Father. Cover them, Father, from that evil one, and may they be a blessing to those, and encourage them, Father, in every way possible. Father, give them a good trip, Father, not only spiritually, but also physically, Father. May you bring them back home safe, Father. And as he's out there, Father, give him strength, Father, every day. Give him health and energy to meet the challenge of every day, Father, that he faces. And we ask you for ourselves as well, Father. Thank you, Father, for being with us and giving us strength. And thank you for healing our bodies and delivering us from all things, Father. We ask you for your care, Father, for your little bride around the world, Father. And we ask you for Israel and the peace of Israel. And, Father, our families, Father, wherever they are, our close families, Father, protect them from that evil one until they can come to you, Father. And profess you as your Savior. Yes. Father, in Jesus' name we ask you these things. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Now, Brother Brown says in God Hiding in Simplicity, he says, and now today we are trying to educate people to do that, you know, to the scientific approach to God. And you cannot do that. God is known not by science, but by faith. We know God, you know, and I think Elon has a new, you know, AI. They call it what, Brock or something like that, D-R-L-C-K. And they was talking about it. You know, they're trying, and the first question they asked him was that, who is Jesus? You know, I don't know what they're asking in AI. You know, what do AI know? The only thing AI knows is what you feed AI. It's not going to get into religion or agree with anybody in religion. He just, whatever data he gathers and whatever research he do, or whatever math he can put out and do, and voila. You know, so, but they are looking. I mean, they are using all methods they can intellectually to find out if God is God or if there's a God. So they ask him a question. He says, what is the possibility, they ask the AI, that anybody can create life? Because supposedly, you know, nobody knows what life. The scientists said it was the Big Bang. We said that God created, they wanted to know. So after days of, you know, the AI throwing numbers and doing and reading and finding everything, he said the possibility for anybody to create life, it was about 100 to 200,000. I mean, that means that's almost impossible. It's almost like zero. Yeah. I mean, he did all the math and everything. And not to create a life like you and me, but at least the beginning of a cell that has some kind of, idea, has some enough there to start. It says, If that's possible. So I'm just saying they're wasting their time. Anyway, they're wasting their time. So I just turned it off. I said, I don't need to hear no more about this. You know, it's just, they're looking in the wrong, scientists, you know, looking. But Brother Brown says, and I say this, the man can sit down and look at a bunch of flowers, a bouquet of flowers, and study that 30 minutes sincerely with all of his heart. And know more about God than he did if he know he had all the degrees, Bible school given him, for God revealed himself in the flower. We see it die and rise again, resurrection. We see two or three different colors in the same species of flower. Where did that coloring come from? Explain to me, how did it get there? Well, we had to ask AI and see if he knows where the coloring come from. You know? Yeah, where are the races come from? It wasn't no black and white and nothing like that before, and red and blue. So where did all this came from? Well, where does it go and how does it get back again? Explain. How does that seed have to die and come back again? God showing himself in simplicity, then hiding himself again in death, to show himself again in resurrection. See? You don't have to know a whole lot. Let me say that again. You don't have to know a whole lot. So that means everybody can know a lot. If nobody had to know a whole lot. The only thing you have to know is to have faith in what you're looking at and what you're believing. See? Not what you're hearing, but what you're looking at. Okay? See? 1 hour would really prove it, would teach you more about God than all the degree that you could have. So might as well forget about AI. All the time they have put on that, but they will buy it in some. God is great. He can make himself simple. Now, that's what makes us great. To me, is how he can make himself simple, and that for doing himself, he hides himself from the smart and the wise. Hold on a minute. My finger got a little excited. Sometimes I got a happy finger sometimes. I call it, you know, not a trigger finger, happy finger. So he says, and that for doing himself, he hides himself from the smart and the wise. Now, just think of that. He hides himself from the smart people and reveals himself to who? To the humble. And as you try to figure it out and study it out, you just figure away from God. So we leave. You know, every time you do that, you just get yourself further and further away. Now, this is quit trying to figure things out. You know, just believe what he says. That's all there is to it. Just believe. I mean, what would make it so difficult? If it's difficult, it's because we make it difficult. It's not because God made it difficult. And some people trying to make this message, my fingers are getting too happy tonight. Can't touch the screen. Let's see what I was at again. I hope this don't gonna happen online. So, in humble, and you try to figure it out and study it out, you just figure away from God. Every time you do that, you get yourself further and further away. Quit trying to figure it out. Just believe it. Believe what he says. That's all there is to it. Just believe. And then hide himself from the wise and show himself to the simple. Man cannot be that big. What he say, man cannot be that big like God to humble himself down to be simple. Because God think himself to be big, but he's not that big. But if he was that big, he could humble himself. But he's not. He think he is. So tonight we're going to talk about a subject that's what I read you about the firmament and about the stars and about speaking to us, day and night and nature. We're going to talk about Genesis 1:27. The subject, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he him. Them. So what image was that? That's what we need to find out. Okay? And this came out, you know, I write sometimes a lot of thoughts when I'm listening at preaching. About a month ago, I wrote a little thought, and I did a little sketch. But then when Brother Doug started talking about marriage and divorce, and he says, you know, it wasn't so at the beginning, then it kind of took me back to this scripture. See, because God created man in his own image. The problem is God is not a man. So what image was that? The Bible said he's not a man to lie. Not that he's not a man to lie, but he's not a man. So therefore he cannot lie. So what image was that? That's what we're going to find out tonight. And that's the mystery. And what the mystery is holding, that image. And the mystery is the significance of being male and female. Okay? Because that's what the whole mystery is, right? So Colossians 1, 26, 27 says, even the mystery which has been hid from ages. I'm glad that God sent a prophet to reveal all these things to us. There's no more mysteries today, no more secrets. Everything has been revealed to us in the last days. It says, he, and from a generation, but now it is made manifest. Now is today. Not 2,000 years ago. Now it's being manifest. To who? To you and me. See? God sent a prophet to tie all the loose ends. And God restored the entire Bible. So now is the time to know all these things. Before, we lost so much, and everybody had so many their own particular ideas and thought, interpretation, that we didn't even know, you know, who was right. But we are no longer living in the darkness. We are not only living in that. I'm glad that God came my way and revealed himself to me. That's what I'm here for. Because this is the only place that I found the truth. I thought I had the truth, but I wasn't satisfied. For many years, you know, seeking. But I wasn't satisfied until this God called me and this message came to me. Now I'm more than satisfied. To whom God, he says, make known that what is the riches of his glory. See? The mystery among the Gentile, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, we're going to look at that mystery of the Gentile, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, 1 John 4, 2 says, thereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is God. Now, there's two thoughts about this. Yes, God in the beginning made humans, you know, male and female, like a human beings. But no, that's not, we know that it's not true. So, they're talking Jesus Christ. Did Jesus Christ was a human being? He came as a human, like you and me? Or he came in flesh? God in flesh, because you cannot take the third person of the Trinity or the second, you know, make it another person, because that's what they try to do, trying to force it to be another person beside God. And you cannot do that. It won't work out. It won't go through the scriptures. So it says, thereby the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. In the beginning, John 1:1 says, in the beginning the Word was with God. That is the logo. That was God himself, creating himself in creation. The first thing he created is himself. And that was later on is our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see that later on. So, John is saying over here that did you move that again now? Thereby now the Spirit of God, I confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So no, Jesus Christ was not a human being like you and me that came in flesh, you know, the second person of the Trinity. No, that was God himself. It was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word, you know, manifested himself. But that was not Jesus. That was God in flesh, in a body that we call Jesus Christ. But they would not get that way, though. So if we confess that he came in flesh, okay, in the flesh, and the second part of that is that he came in our flesh. Just like Jesus, like God came in flesh, Jesus also, at the form of the Holy Ghost, he came in flesh. Okay. So, 2 Corinthians 1:7, for many deceivers are entering into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ come into flesh, in the flesh. This is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Not only God made himself a body, but then he ascended and he came down and he came in flesh again. That's why he said the hope of glory, Christ in us, the hope of what? Of glory. 2 Corinthians 2:16, for who had known the mind of the Lord that he made him strong in telling what to do, instruct him. You know, who played referee to tell him what to do and how to do things. But we had the mind of Christ. Amen. For Corinthians 4:4, 2 says, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the gospel of Christ, that is the Word, who is the image of God, that is still consistent to me. The Word is the image of God. How? In a body. You have to have a body. Because God is a spirit who has seen God at any time. So God has to materialize himself to be seen, to be touched, to be heard. So he's saying here that Christ, who is the image of God, see, he reveals the mystery to shine unto them. John 14:8-9 says, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and you have not, thou not come, thou not know me? He that has seen me has seen what? The Father. And how say thou, show us the Father? So if you want to see the Father, you know, it is, Jesus is saying. Because he was the Word, God is the Word, and the Word was manifest in flesh. So whatever the God did is what the body will manifest. Exactly the same thing. He fulfilled all the Old Testament, New Testament. So that's God. God is the Word. Because no one has seen God. But we have the Word. And that Word manifested is God in flesh. Amen. Now, Hebrews 1:3 said, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, talking about Jesus, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down in the right hand of the majesty on high. So, he was in the beginning, he came in flesh, and he went back to where he came from. Jesus was praying, he says, Lord, you know, he wanted to go back to the same glory that he had before with him. He said, go back to the same. And that's what happened. So, I want to illustrate this image of God. What is the image of God? And it's sure it's not that something difficult. If I understand it, you guys are smarter than I am anyway. So it won't take you too long. So, but I want to illustrate it using the flag of Israel. You know, I know, I get some weird thoughts. Just stay with me. I want to use that. A picture worth a thousand words. Now, you said, but why do you want to use a flag like that? Because God was the one that designed everything. There's nothing that God has designed. Man can claim that he did, but is God that is in control or is not in control? So when Moses built the tabernacle, where he saw the tabernacle? In heaven. God showed him and he designed it. So that's important, right? So it wasn't Moses that made it up or figured it out or invented or discovered. What he saw, what God showed him, he made, right? And all the priest garments and the whole thing, they have symbols. And it's a prefigure of something. Everything that God do through his people, it has a meaning to it. We are not just having the high priest night dressed up with a big hat and a bunch of jewels in the chest so he can look good. All that has a meaning. Whatever God created, even through a man, has a meaning to it. So the priest with all the stone, you know, every stone represents, you know, a tribe. And the stone was used as a Urim Thummim, you know, in those days. If somebody wanted to prophesy and you wanted to know if it was true or the false, they bring the high priest, put the ephod, and he prophesied, and those rocks started, you know, emitting light, then it was good. If not, then you better run. So, and all that stuff, God, you know, put it in the mind, inspire man to do those things. He said, he put in the mind of the one that did all the carving work, all the masonry work. They gave all the intelligence and all the gift so they can do all that work in the tabernacle. So they didn't do it themselves. They just came out of digging mud for 400 years. They had no education. What do you think they got all this? That's God working through people. Brother Brown says, you know, man says they discovered the TV. Brother Brown says, way back in Noah's time, the TV was already in the ground. Silicon Valley was there a long time ago that they made all the chips for all this stuff. That was there. They just found them, discovered, and they put them together, you know. And God gave them the intelligence and the gift to do that. It wasn't their own. So what I'm saying is, everything that you see, either God is in control or he's not in control.
Right.
Take, for example, Joseph. Even when we think we are doing our own thing, Joseph, God told him, you need to flee because Pharaoh is coming on you and he's going to kill you. Take your wife and take the baby and flee to this city. Well, I forgot the name of the city because I just remembered this, but he went to a different city. He went because he said, no, if I go over there, the son of the one before is there, it's going to kill me. But he started reasoning out why he didn't want to go there.
Right.
So he went to another city, but that's okay because God, even that, in the permissible will of God, he used that because he said, from there, you know, my son will come out. So I forgot the scripture. I will remember in a minute. But the thing is that sometimes we take Abraham. This is an easy one. Abraham left the land. He's not supposed to leave the land. And they end up in Abimelech, you know, land out there. Now, he was out of God's will completely, out of the land. He's not supposed to do that. But once he gets over there, he lied and the whole work, you know. God allowed them to do that. That's a permissible will of God. That was not the plan of God, the perfect will of God. See, God has a perfect will. It's in control. But God took that, even though that was permissible to him, let him do it, then he works it out for good to him. So what I'm saying is that sometimes we think we are doing a service. But even if we are child of God and God let us do our permissible will, God will always use it for good. He turns all that around because his prophecy, his word has to be fulfilled, period. And he will fulfill his word. So, when you talk about a flag, I don't think someone just happened to say, oh, I got a great idea, and I got a great thought. Where do you think the great idea and the great thought come from? It's God's. He inspired his people so that he can do this flag. So the flag wasn't a man-made. It was God. Why? They decided that they wanted a king at one point, Saul, right? And they said, well, they told Samuel, we want a king, just like the rest of those, you know, countries are there and towns, they got kings and they protect them and they provide for them and they keep them safe and blah, blah, blah. We need a king. And Samuel said, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't need a king. Shut up. Yes, we need a king. And we need a flag. Because, you know, every nation, every king has his own flag, his own army, his own emblems, you know, all that has a symbolism. So here now we come, and Israel, you know, has a flag. You know, and that started way then with Solomon and everything. They wanted to have a king. Well, a king has to have, you know, all kind of, you know, protection and a shield, and all that has a some kind of a symbol. So everybody else recognized who the king is and where he came from. You know, that's the king of Israel. I recognize the emblem. Okay? But even though it was not, God didn't want to do that. That was a permissive will of God to give them a king. And he did. That doesn't mean that the entire thing is completely wrong. God is using all that for his own purpose anyway. See? If that don't happen, then God is not in control. Period. So, I want to use that flag because, like I said, I think I can make it as I look at the flag. And as I look right there, you see that flag? That is a blue stripes on top. And what you see right there, it is a pyramid upside down and one going up. And it has 6 points. It's not that the American one that has 5 points. So it is 2 triangles. Okay? Now, the blue stripes on the top represent the rivers. You know, they went to the river when they came out of Egypt. You know, in that night, the Passover, they had to eat them and the whole thing, and they had to get ready. And then Moses took them and crossed the river. You know, that's how the walls of the water, see, that separated. And then the star represents the Jewish people went through it. You see, somebody must have had some inspiration, right? Now, when we said that God in the beginning created, let me get back to my star. Just leave the star there. Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image. Okay? And the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. And then it says later on, that he took Adam and Eve and called them, well, the two spirits. In the beginning, he created the spirit in the spirit world in Genesis 1. Because the image of God, God is a spirit. So the first man and the first woman he had to create has to be in a spirit. Not in flesh. First, he created the spirits in heaven. And he put those two spirits in one body called Adam. And he called them Adam. So that, here it is, thank you. I wonder what it was at. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created him. Male and female created him. So, it was one entity. There was this, that's what those two triangles mean. They are intertwined. You know that you cannot separate, unless you're a magician. You know those magicians that take 2 loops, and they go, voila, and they hit and they come together? Well, all magic anyway. You cannot separate that because see how they are intertwined, they're twined together. So no one, what God joins, no one can separate. I don't care what God joins. Now what man joins, that's a different story. But what God joins, so God has joined the two spirits together. Okay? Now what happened next? That God separates. The Bible says in Genesis 2025, Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowls of the air and every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found any help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall in Adam, and he slept, and he took from his rib and clothed him and made flesh instead thereof. And then and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought him to a man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken from the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. They shall be one flesh. Now, give me the other the other figure. Now they're separated. Now the two triangles. So one was man and one was woman. God only can separate that. He took the two spirits and separated, and then brought him the middle one. Is the M and the Y together? So he brought him together as a couple. Okay, that's my ideas. You know, I do a lot of ideas. You just gotta start looking at something. That Brother Brown said, if you look at something and you believe and you know what you're looking at, just wait. You know, I start looking at all these things, and all these things come to my mind. Okay, anyway. So God separate. Now they're no longer in the spirit form. Now in flesh, there's two separate spirit, but God joins them together as a man and a wife. Amen? And they become still the one flesh. There's one entity, one unit. See? Therefore, a man leave his father and mother, and she shall cleave to his wife. Okay? They shall not, and they be one flesh. Why? Because God is still one. That's God's image. So God is one in the beginning and is still one. Even though he separated them, but they're still one because he bring them together as one in two different entities. Anyway, now Matthew 19:6 says, therefore we are not more twined but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, lest no man put asunder. Amen. So God creates a woman, and a woman is different nature than a man. It's two natures, and it's God natures anyway. Right? Now this is what Proverbs says about the woman. Proverbs 31:26-27. She opened her mouth with wisdom. He don't say that about the guys. You guys, you got no wisdom. You just impetuous. You just charge. You just want to get the thing done. Sometimes you don't know. But your wives are wise. Okay, you turn your face. Okay. This is what the Bible says. I'm just reading what the Bible says. It says, she opened her mouth with wisdom. So everything that she said, you better pay attention. It's wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. Yeah, women are more sweeter and more kind. You know, easy, sweet. If a guy is that way, I have my doubt that he's a guy, you know. But a woman is. Okay? God made him that way. He says she looks well to the way of her household, see? And eateth not the breath of idleness. She's always working. Don't tell me that your wife don't work at home. Don't never tell your wife you don't do nothing because you should stay home and do all the work they do. I try, that's too much for me. They're always going, cleaning and washing and cleaning. And I told my wife, the house is clean enough. Stop. No, let's go to Home Depot and buy some dust so you can put it in my house so I can continue cleaning. I mean, everything is nice. My wife would not go to bed. I remember when I was so surprised. I mean, your mom brought up some good girls. She would not go to bed until everything was clean, tidy, kitchen was clean, dishes were gone, the bathroom, she goes out there, and before she takes shower, they clean. I mean, she would not go to bed with a dirty house. And I appreciated that because I left my clothes everywhere and the kids too. So she had to work double time, triple time. But she kept her house, you know, clean for us. And we appreciate that. So, man says, it's more strength, it's a provider, it's a protector. That's what a man is. And 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if any provide not for his own, I'm talking about men, especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith and he's worse than an infidel. So, we're supposed to be protectors, you know, providers. You know, we are the strength of the household, you know. But women are more, you know. But that don't mean because they are less of all. I mean, we come together and that's what God says. Coming together and you guys, it's a team. It's a unity. Now you are complete. That's what sometimes, you know, us guys go through life, you know, something is missing. You know, of course something is missing, because God made two in the beginning, two spirits. And that was God's intention, unity. And we're going to see that later on through the whole Bible, because Jesus and the bride still, you know, at the end, we're supposed to be one, not two, you know, and the bride. So Timothy says that he's supposed to be the provider. Now, Brother Branham says over here in exposition of the 7-8 church, he says, but the life could not and would not be shared in any other way than through the way that God manifests in the flesh. So, okay, God manifests in the flesh. So, this was a part of his eternal predestinated purpose. This plan was to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. It was the plan of redemption. It was the plan of salvation. Now listen closely. God being a savior, it was necessary that he predestined a man who would require salvation in order to give himself a reason and a purpose of being. Man, God had needed a purpose just to be God. That's why he created you. He said, that is 100% correct, and multitudes of scripture bear out as those the very pointed verse of Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him all things, to whom be the glory forever. Now, it says, the fall which would be caused by Satan had to have flesh to make a fall. Satan had to come through flesh, for Satan could not come through human flesh to make the fall, as would Christ come in human flesh to restore the fallen. He cannot create that God. He could not make himself a body. He could not become flesh. So he needed, Satan is a spirit, is an angelic being. See, that's what I don't understand, what people believe, that angels came down and pressed themselves into flesh and took wife. That's ridiculous. These are beings, so celestial beings. So it says that he could not make himself flesh, but there was an animal, the serpent, so close to man, so God started creating, and you know, the third one was the monkey, until he came to the monkey that almost looked like a man. But the brother said, you take all this hair, you shave it, and you put, you know, clothes on it. I mean, it looks. He has feet like a bear, and he stands, he got hands, he has fingers. But that was not the missing, you know, piece. It was the next one, close to man, was the beast, you know, the snake at the time. You know, he was erect, you know, walking, you know, like a man. So that was the missing, the looking today. What is that missing piece, you know, with God turning into a snake? But Satan could not come through flesh, so as Christ. Now, he said, Satan could not get to the beast. Through that beast, he could get to human flesh and cause the fall, and injected himself thereby into human race, even as Jesus would now one day come and inject himself into the human race. Okay? So, flesh, you know, now it is not God's, you know, image. Because this is animal image. Now, in me, you know, there's what we call the our theophany. That's a different story. That has the spirits, you know, the spirit that it looks like us, you know, and that celestial body, you know, is the one that is waiting for to come back and take the body. But that body, that is the real me, is the celestial body, and nobody's seen that. Nobody. Anyway, it says, injecting himself into the human race, into human bodies, even to the extent of a resurrection where we would have bodies like unto his glorified one. So, I'll tell you in a minute what all this means. Thus, that what God worked out here in the garden was his predestinated plan. And when Satan had brought about that which was necessary to purpose of God, because God allowed this for a purpose, see, then man could not get to the tree of life in the garden. Certainly not, he says. It wasn't time, but in animal has caused the fall, had it not, lest animal life be shed. From there on, you know, all the sacrifices throughout, you know, that blood that will cover the animal to cover the sin is because it was an animal that caused it. It says, certainly, it says, not, it wasn't time, but an animal has caused the fall, had it not, let animal life be shed, was taken, and his blood shed, and then God had communion with man again. Then there was a coming day when God would appear in flesh. Okay? That's why he has to come in our image. Animal. Now, hold there, because he bypassed that part. But give me a minute. They come to, that was only the image. The more came the day God would appear in flesh, and by means of his humiliation, he would restore fallen man and make him partakers of life. Once you see this, you can understand the serpent seed and how that it was no apple, if a, no, it was the degradation of humanity by intermingling the seeds. So, what is all this saying? So, God is a spirit, and he said, let us make man in our own image. So the first that he made Adam and Eve, he made them in the spirit realm, period. Just like him, okay? So then, after that, he creates a body. But that body was an animal body. Why? Because it was in the image of, you know, what we call the rest of the animals. God called them from the earth and made them all from the very beginning. So God takes Adam and Eve and put them in these bodies, right? But the image of those bodies was after animal. You know, the last one was the beast, and then the top of the creation is man. So then Satan came and saw that, he said, now I have an opportunity to come in flesh. I cannot do it, but now, you know, they are just like me, animals. They're homo sapiens, they're intelligent, but they're still what they are. This flesh will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. This is after. You know, Peter says that a man without the Holy Ghost is like a brute beast. Because that's what this is. It's after. This image is after the animal. And after the fall, and before the fall, then we know that Satan injected himself, mingled the seed, and then what? Created the fall. And God shot, you know, the tree of life, so they will not live forever that way. So, now, you and I bypass, then, our theophany. That body is still there, and the spirit is still there, a theophany body. So what happened is, that the body that we took, it was a flesh body, animal body, in that image. But one of these days, you know, what's going to happen is that the rapture is going to happen. And those that are alive and well, you know, this body will change completely as a twinkle of an eye. But that is a perfect body. And those that are waiting for a body, they're going to come back to pick up a body. But that body is not in sexual, you know, it was created that way. It is a perfect body that we're supposed to have to begin with at the beginning, before Satan came in. So that body, then, when we take that body, then now we become perfect. Right now we are not. That's why we have this, the saints that have passed away waiting to come back and pick up their body. Because those bodies will be perfect. Because they will be created by God. It will not be created by, as the first one. It was flesh, sexually. They got to die. These bodies have to die. So now, what are we saying? So man is made out of the image of God in the spiritual realm, but it's made out of image of animal in the flesh realm. Okay? But God saw that and he became and took our image just to come down in human flesh so he could redeem us back to the state that we're supposed to be.
Right.
Now, you need to remember that Jesus was born virgin. He did not bypass his theophany. You and I did. Why? Because his body was not created sexually created. God himself created his body in the womb of Mary. He created the blood and the egg and put it in that oven. So no wonder he was without sin. That was his theophany by his perfect body. He could not sin. But you and I didn't come that way. But we are waiting because in the rapture, our bodies are going to be changed. And those that are waiting, they're going to come back to pick up that real body. God is going to make a real body. And it's not going to be sexual. It's going to be completely perfect. Because that's what God had in his mind to begin with. Now, it gets even worse. No, it gets better. I didn't understand this until now because I've been looking at this and people push about it a lot. He said the soul that sin it will die. Remember when God made the first man, he blew in him, you know, and he became a living what? Okay. So, the soul that sin will die, okay? That's why we had to die. Why? Because we have sin, right? In the flesh. In the flesh. But in the spiritual body, we haven't done nothing. That's why we are justified. Why? Because in the spiritual body, we have not sinned. We cannot sin. But then we put into another body, and then we go through tests, you know. So what happened is that you, in the very beginning, before the foundation of the world, in the mind of God, you had never done it. That's it. So now, become flesh. Now it says, the day that you eat of that fruit, you shall what? Die. And the soul that sin will die. But that is this. But you cannot die no more than God can die because the Spirit of God cannot die. God cannot die and you was made in the beginning as a spirit, a being. And that being is going to come and take a flesh. Not this flesh. This is not what is going to resurrect. He's going to take the real flesh from the ground, perfect, and then we know bypass the theophany any longer. So to begin with, you never done it. Now, when Brother Doug was talking about marriage and divorce, Brother Branham said when he was preaching it, people got antsy because it was a lot of messed up people, just like me too. No? People that, but in the world, their life was in the mess. People was divorced once, twice, and had done all kind of things. And they were getting nervous because Brother Branham said it wasn't so in the beginning. Of course. That my body, my theophany body, never seen. See, that's why we are justified, because we never done it in the spirit realm. But later on, the spirit is going to take a perfect body, and we're back again where we started with. So then, I lost my train of thought right here. So, let's see. Yes, so we take a body, and then we resurrect, you know, with a new body, okay? Not this body. So this is the thing: the way you look now is the way you're gonna look there. Sorry, tall, short, or whatever. You know, there's no like I got black hair or bad hair, but when I get that one blue eyes and I want blonde hair, no. The same body. But it wouldn't be this old body. When you was at your best, you know, 15, 18, 20, at your best in your life, that is the kind of body that you're going to have. See? Don't expect to be better looking when you get there. So, in the beginning, God created man and women in the spirit realm. And in his mind, we never sin. But when we sin in the flesh, we were separated from the theophany, from the real body that Adam and Eve supposed to call the real body, not spoken, not from that way. So because we bypass that, then we have to die, and then, or the rapture, and then we get a real body. Amen? So when brother was talking about, you know, it wasn't so at the beginning, I started thinking, then what did that mean? It wasn't so in the beginning. Well, in the mind of God, before the foundation of the world, none of this happened. So that's, it's okay. You know, everything was perfect. Now, but the Brother says, when people was getting antsy, that's what I was trying to get to. People was getting antsy, said, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? People were crying. I mean, I got this wife, I got so many children. If I leave her and leave the children, then to find my other wife that she's married with so many, I mean, to get her to divorce that one and me to, and then that's not going to work. That's not going to fix it. But people were thinking, what am I going to do now? I'm in this mess. Then that's when Brother Mark says, just wait, let me get to the end. You know, I know you are, you know, he knew they were thinking. Because they were in the mess. We're in the mess. So then he says, when we get there, you know, God will straighten it all out. Because this flesh is not going to be there. Whatever we've done in this flesh will die. And then we get a new body. And in that body, we never done it. Whatever we worry about what we've done before, it's going to be gone. When this die down, it's going to be gone with this body. And you get a new body that it will be perfect. And it's the body that he deserved for you from the very beginning of the world. Amen. So, Brother Man used to say, just stay the way you are. See? He said, and sin no more. See? Because one of these days, things will get straight out. But I don't know, if this is my the wife that I'm supposed to marry, don't worry about it. When you get there, if it's not, things will get straight out somehow. But because we have made this man, now we just have to just wait. The only thing he says, promise me, don't do it again. But that's what the Bible says. When you come into the Lord, it says, stay the way you came. See? Well, whatever you was, a drug addict, a brother, and then maybe you have another wife, whatever, but and God called you. If that's the way God called you, stay that way. Because at the end, God will take care of the whole thing. Like Brother Doug was saying, Brother Branham's going to have a wife in one side and a wife in another side. Amen? God knows exactly how things work. We don't need to be worrying about it and fretting about it, you know, because you can do nothing. Right. Nothing you can do to fix anything. You already messed it up. There's no way you can do anything to make things right. Just make sure that you stay the way you are. You live the life of the Lord, that at the end, when you're called, things will work out. Because if you are the Son of God and in you is the Spirit of God, you know, and he saw you before the foundation of the world, but that's where you're going to go. Because in that body that he made, you never done it. You never have done anything. You never sinned in that body. In this one, yes, but not on that one. Amen. And this is not your fault. It's Satan that injected his self into creation and corrupted the creation. So everything's going to be on him that day. Amen. So I was so glad when I was reading that. I'm going to bring you all the quote next time, because this is just part one, to prove to you what we're talking about. Amen. We bypass our body. We came into the animal body, corrupted by the world, to be tested. All we have to do is just love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your body. God called you. If God called you, God will take care of the rest. Amen. And one of these days you will have a glorious body that Jesus Christ has too. And that's the body that is going to be made. Amen. That God will make for you from the earth. They're all coming back to get bodies. That's why they want to get the bodies. Perfect body. Amen. So next time I'm going to bring you all the part two. I'm going to bring you all the quotes. This is all what the Bible speaks, the word, but I'm going to bring you all the quotes too to show you, because the way he said it is better than the way I say it. And who can say it better than he said it? Amen? Because I'm kind of just grabbing things, you know, where I read a lot, so I start grabbing things that I remember and comes to my mind. But next week, Lord willing, I'm going to have to be back because Brother Doug is going to be gone again, and that's fine. I'm glad that we can help him, you know, to either at least take a trip or get away. I will. I mean, I need some time away from you guys if I had to preach to you guys all year round too. Well, not really. What he's doing is giving you a break from him. That's all he's doing. Amen. So I don't have nothing else to add to this tonight. So shall we stand? Apologize a little bit. My mind was I'm a scattered brain today. I don't know. I've been working hard physically, I mean, the past week. And these allergies don't let me sleep. I don't even get three, four hours at night. So it's hard to think when you can rest and your mind is always going and going and going. So I was trying to just to stay focused and stay on course. But sometimes it is a hard thing to do. But I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying is that just pray for me. That the Lord will give me always the strength and give me energy to do and health to do what I got to do. Because Satan sure fights over your heart. Amen. Mainly the ministry. He will fight your hearts. Amen. So, what is? I thought you ran away from me, Vente. You know I don't know how to sing. I cannot carry a tune in a bucket. I mean, I thought you're supposed to have my back.
Man, praise the Lord. Amen. One of these days we're going to get Brother Eli to sing a special. Amen. Did you enjoy that tonight? Amen. Amen. God is so good. Amen.